Good morning, everyone. My name is Gail Hughes. I'm a professor at the University of Western Cape in Cape Town, South Africa. I'm also the director for the South African Herbal Science and Medicine Institute. So we're going to do a little bit different in our presentation in terms of our earlier speakers. I'd like to acknowledge my colleagues, Dr. Abuyade, and also Professor Tani Kouane, who's in the back, who worked on this body of research. We have no conflict of interest or anything to disclose. So I want you to put on your seatbelt, and we're going to take a little trip, and it's free. I'm going to take you to South Africa from California, about 10,000 miles away. In South Africa, we have a total of 9 provinces, and the 2 provinces I'm going to focus on for this body of research, and I don't have a pointer, but it's going to be the Western Cape, which is the lowestmost point on the map or province, and then the Eastern Cape. So this is where this body of research is for discussion and our research efforts. So let me just give you a little background in terms of what we're interested in terms of chronic diseases. So if you look at diabetes and hypertension worldwide, they're the leading chronic diseases of what we call lifestyle. Globally, we have 366 million people who are living with diabetes and 800 million with hypertension. These diseases account for 3.4 million and 8 million deaths, respectively, worldwide. If you look at South Africa, we have 2 million who are diabetic and 3.3 million who are hypertensive. According to the World Health Organization, diabetes and hypertension account for 3.27% and 2.09% of total deaths in South Africa. Also, if you look at the World Health Organization's description of the prevalence of traditional herbal medicine use in Africa, it's about 80%. Depending on which country, obviously there are multiple countries on the continent, there is some variability, but it's as high as 80%. If you then look at the treatment of hypertension and diabetes, again, there's a range anywhere from 21% to 69%, and that's based upon the community, the country, and so on. However, when you really want to look at hypertension and diabetes in terms of the use of traditional herbal medicine, specifically for these chronic diseases of lifestyle in our communities, there's very little known. So that inspired us in our research to look a little bit closely at what's happening in the Western and Eastern Cape. So let's look at South African statistics in terms of healthcare in particular. We have more than 200,000 traditional healers in the country. When you look at access to healthcare providers and clinicians in particular, you're looking at 35,000. So clearly there is a stark difference between having, you know, access to clinicians and physicians, and then also having access to traditional healers and practitioners. So we know that we have, you know, quite a number of people who have access to traditional medicine, who say they use traditional medicine in some form or another. When you look at traditional practitioners, there are a number of different, you know, categories and disciplines. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about it, but just know that there are spiritualists, and then there are herbalists, you know, those who provide, you know, healing, prayer, and a sundry of different things, and those who actually prescribe herbs or some sort of plant-based medicine. And that's going to be the focus of this talk. And the applications are extensive. It could be for HIV/AIDS, not necessarily the treatment of, but the symptoms related to it. It could be TB, malaria, cancer, pain, diabetes, obesity, and so on. There's a very long list. And before I begin to talk about our research, I just want to again be clear that I know when I'm in the West giving presentations, I change gears and I use CAM and, you know, complementary alternative medicine. But when you're on the continent of Africa, we use a different terminology. So we'll say traditional herbal medicine, we'll say herbal medicine, we'll say African herbal medicine, we'll say indigenous medicine. So there's a lot of different terms. They're all pretty much the same. But for this particular presentation, I'm going to relegate it to plant-based medicines. Okay. So the objective of this study was to assess and investigate the prevalence of traditional herbal medicine use for hypertension and diabetes in both urban and rural communities in South Africa. Our study design was a quantitative, cross-sectional, descriptive study. We enrolled 443 adult males and females. We recruited from a larger cohort study, which is called PURE. It's a prospective urban-rural epidemiologic study. This study started about 3 years ago. It's worldwide. It's 16 countries, South Africa being one of them. 2,000 patients per country, so you can do the math. It's thousands of patients that we're following up over 10 years, specifically looking at, you know, chronic conditions and diseases, hypertension, heart disease, and so on. So we wanted to look at this, you know, readily available cohort to see what their use of traditional herbal medicine is. In the original study, they're not looking at that at all, so this is sort of an add-on to that study. So we have... in urban township in Cape Town in the Western Province, and that's, again, I don't have a pointer, but that's at the beginning of the arrow here, Cape Town. And then we have a rural community in the Eastern Province called Montfrere. That's the endpoint of the arrow. That's about 13, we're in kilometers in on the continent of Africa, about 1,300 kilometers. So it's pretty far. It's not particularly close. The reason we're interested in this particular cohort is because in the Eastern Cape, you have a lot of migration back and forth in terms of work. So the people who come from the Eastern Cape are coming to the Western Cape for jobs and opportunities. So we need to understand that sort of migration, actually oscillating migration pattern. This study was done last year over a 4-month time period. We basically used a face-to-face interview with structured questions. We asked the typical questions around demographics, traditional herbal medicine use, types of herbal medicine use, duration, so on. We really wanted to get an understanding of the use of herbal medicine. We also assessed, and this is self-reported in terms of hypertension and diabetes, so I cannot tell you whether they're type 1 or type 2 diabetes. More than likely, the patients would not even have known themselves at this point. And also in terms of their hypertension. So self-reported in terms of them either being hypertensive or having diabetes, and what was their traditional herbal medicine use pattern and patterns. Interviews were administered by, you know, trained data collectors, and we allowed participants to either answer in English or in Xhosa. I must also tell you that in the Eastern Cape, it's primarily Xhosa-speaking people, and then they're migrating to the Western Cape, which is Afrikaans and English-speaking, so that's why we have the option in terms of how people may choose to respond. In general, most people speak, you know, multiple languages. So in terms of our analysis, after the data was captured, we used both SPSS and SAS for our analysis. We used standard descriptive measures for both univariate and bivariate. We used the typical p-value of 0.05, and all percent distributions were calculated based on non-missing values. So I put the tables in. It's a little bit busy, but I just want to summarize and highlight for you our results. So if you look at this cohort in terms of, we have the initial 443 that we enrolled into the study. And of those, we have a segment who are what we call a THM users, those who indicate they use traditional herbal medicine. So that's about 31% of the overall population. If you look at them in terms of their condition that they're treating traditional herbal medicine with, most people say, you know, 38%, they're using them for colds, flu, and diarrhea. So they're using them for, you know, common kinds of conditions that most people would use. If you say a chronic disease or condition, it's right around 17%. And other conditions would be a combination of things. We just sort of collapse it to make it a little bit more easier in terms of the responses. If you look at the purpose of the traditional herbal medicine use, again, we have people saying for all conditions, so meaning if I have something wrong, if I have a pain, if I have a headache, you know, I'm first going to use herbal medicine, followed by treatment of a specific condition, and then overall general well-being, and lastly, for preventive measures. So the cohort is older, it's primarily female, these people who are married, they have high school, a little bit less than education, and they're unemployed, and they're Christian in this case, which is pretty much fall in terms of the overall statistics of what we see for people in the country. If you look at the respondents in terms of what they say about their traditional herbal medicine use, The age that they first use is less than 18 years of age, meaning something they grew up with, it's something they use within their cultural practice. So that's not earth-shaking in that regards. If you look at the form of use, they're using it in terms of preparing it as a tea. And it's a tea used with other herbal mixtures. So what we're seeing is that people are not using one particular herb. They're using a plethora of ones that they're using in combination for their particular treatment of condition. We thought, and the reason why we asked this question is the focal point has been the traditional practitioners, but in this particular case and cohort, they either are self-administering or their family or friends are recommending the herbal preparations to them. And I think there's some, this has come off the screen in terms of length of use, but the vast majority have been using it, as I said earlier, for a number of years. It's not just something recent based upon their disease or condition that they're treating it for. We looked at the hypertensive traditional herbal medicine users versus the diabetic or diabetes diagnosed traditional herbal medicine users, and you have right at around 21% of this overall group of traditional herbal medicine users, and then 11% for diabetes. So it's a could be considered relatively low. Again, it mirrors the overall group of participants in terms of primarily female, they're older, they're retired or unemployed, therefore indicating lack of income and insurance and access to health care. We did a comparative analysis looking at those who were hypertensive and compared them to other traditional medicine users just to see if there was anything distinctly different. Again, we're finding them to be older, of course, married, and unemployed. So that's pretty much across the board. When we compare the diabetic participants to the other traditional herbal medicine users, there's no distinctive difference. If you look at them in terms of their use of traditional herbal medicine, and in this particular presentation, I don't talk about the different types. I did a presentation yesterday where I did that. But again, it's different types of plant-based medicines that they're using in a tea form. So it may be the tea leaves they're using. Sometimes it's the whole plant grounded down into powder form or a form in which they can extract and make into a tea. So again, if you're looking at those who are hypertensive versus those who are using traditional herbal medicine for other use, they're using tea with other mixtures. They're using it regularly when they're using it. They're self-administered. And again, this is not a practice they've just recently started. And again, when we looked at the diabetic versus other traditional herbal medicine users, we're not seeing a distinct difference. So let me just sum up for you. So we found in this particular project that the prevalence of traditional herbal medicine use for hypertension and diabetes was 21% and 11% respectively. People with hypertension and diabetes, they use traditional herbal medicine for all reasons that we've mentioned, to prevent, manage, and treat their particular disease. They're older, they're female, they're unemployed, and their educational levels are at about high school or less. Religion was not found to be statistically significant. That's important because people who generally in the rural areas will be much more indigenous to their culture. And therefore, what we found in our other studies, and in this one too, is that people who tend to be Christian oftentimes will say they don't believe in traditional medicine. And that's sort of part of that acculturation that happens. But that was not the case with this particular project. And people have been using, as I said earlier, for a number of years, traditional herbal medicine. So in conclusion, we found that in this particular study that it was quite low in terms of reporting. And what we've seen in the literature, in North Africa, it's up to 80% where people are using traditional herbal medicine for diabetes and hypertension. If you look in India, it's 64%. If I look throughout Africa, it probably would be more than 50%. I looked at my colleagues' work in West Africa, it's probably well over 50%, as high as 80, 90%. What we think is that healthcare providers need to be aware of the potential dualistic use of traditional herbal medicine and using it with conventional medicine. So you have patients who are being given prescription drugs for their diabetes or their hypertension, and now they're also using traditional herbal medicine. We know nothing about the drug-herb interactions that are occurring, and it may be diminishing the effect of either one of the drugs. and causing side effects. So we need healthcare providers to ask those types of questions. We think there needs to be further research investigating the use of traditional herbal medicine and for hypertension and diabetes. I think that's very, very important, especially given sort of the increasing sort of epidemic as we move away from HIV and AIDS being a burden of disease, but also looking at this increase of communicable diseases or non-communicable diseases being affected by the same population. And we need to look at the long-term use of traditional herbal medicine. Having come from having a former life as in the pharmaceutical industry, I know that when we're on the post-marketing side, we very rarely, when we have studies in various countries, do we ever ask about the local culture and traditional herbal medicine use. So we need to ask those questions because clearly people are using it. And I'd like to acknowledge the Pure Field team, our sponsors, the Medical Research Council, the National Research Foundation of South Africa, and the University of Western Cape Office of Research. Thank you.